That's good.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're listening to Into the Runoff, UOI's P1 Motorsport podcast.
Welcome to the Into the Runoff Miami preview. Woo! It's good to know that this weekend is a race weekend, even if I'm not going to be here to watch it live.
Yep, I'll watch half the weekend live.
Although, what time is it on?
It's on in the evening.
Okay.
So, the race is at 10?
Hopefully I'll be back by Lancaster by then.
You would hope so,
but no promises. Okay, we are going to go through some of the results from the last few years, our favourites, and of course, our predictions for Into the Runoff. Do you want to give me a rundown of everything that's happened so far?
So Miami's relatively new. Obviously, it was only introduced in 2022.
It is fifth year.
So a lot of the drivers don't even have that much experience racing on it. Not necessarily because they're new drivers either.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. Like Lawson and Colapinto. I mean, Lawson had a shocking weekend last year. So I'm just going to count neither of them as, you know, actually driving on it, really.
Mm.
So,
well, it's not even like they could do a Max Verstappen and go to a GT race there. Like, the only time that track is usable is for F1 and maybe a slightly strange variation for Formula E.
You know, it's one of these racetracks that might be... It is usually a good race, though, despite the fact that it's new and awful. We don't like new circuits and it's a street circuit and whatnot. It's not...
But I think it is possible to have a good race at a bad circuit.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think that's true. Also, quite a lot of important things happen. So, Antonelli got sprint pole last year, of course.
He did.
And Norris got his first win in Miami.
Yes.
So...
Wait, no, that wasn't last year.
No, that was two years ago.
Yeah, sorry. Say it was Piastri last year.
And Piastri,
don't be doing my boy down.
Piastri won from fourth last year, which was very exciting.
Yeah, it was another good. Yeah, to be fair, we give Miami crap for being a bad track, but actually, it has delivered multiple times, but often for strange reasons, like safety cars or weird tire deg because they made the track out of limestone or something weird like that.
Yes, and with these new regs, everything's very unpredictable.
And actually, I do kind of like I'm a big fan of a track that has visuals, and it kind of is pretty. Like the cable car, the fake marina, there is something appealing about it.
As a runoff-themed podcast, I must say, I think it has one of the most visually appealing runoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, I would love to see one of them crash into the stadium, you know? Or if they sent, like, Mario Kart style up the... Do you know the big, like, car ramps on the side of the stadium? Like, send them around there.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, that's my just... There's carryover from the Formula
I
episode.
Am a bit concerned that we've had really good overtaking. That's been, like, probably one of the few good things... one of the few consensus that people have agreed on. That the overtaking has been good, the racing has been exciting, but they're basically nerfing that in response to the criticism, which is fair, but the speed they can gain from the boost button has been reduced.
Yes, I think it's going to be interesting seeing how the racing unfolds, because in theory, like they should be able to keep fairly level still. Like I feel like a lot of what we've seen has obviously been assisted by the boost, but I don't think it's entirely because of the boost. I mean, when we saw the old regulations, I am slightly worried that, like, when the ground effect regs came out, we did have that first season was brilliant for racing. Like, I remember Bahrain was chaos. You know, there was people going up the inside, around the outside. And then as the teams got grip of the cars, they all started to separate out again. So I think at this stage, I still have faith that the racing will be close, regardless of this change in power.
Yes, and as Miami is the third, has now become the third race in the season, there's this really interesting thing where a lot of teams are bringing their upgrades that were meant for Bahrain or Jeddah, mm-hmm. and then they're going to do another upgrade in Canada, I think.
Fourth race of the season, I think.
Yes. I can't count.
That's okay.
Okay, this is the fourth race of the season. Some teams were going to bring upgrades in Bahrain and Jeddah, as they do with new regs, but they were also going to do another upgrade in Canada. So... some teams are doing one in Miami and one in Canada. I think Racing Bulls are, which is very interesting.
Yeah, because you haven't really got a grip of your first one before you go on to your second. Yes. I feel like this could, like, it's good to be aggressive with your strategy, I guess, as you're going to get left behind. But I can imagine teams doing like a Mercedes zero pod situation where they spend 2 years trying to diagnose the issue. And then, like, if they'd just not been quite as dramatic, they maybe would have got the same thing and understood it better.
I think that might be Aston Martin's problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and we also have two sprint races back to back, which is not great for doing upgrades, but they have to do upgrades because that's just how racing works.
Yeah.
And in response, there's only one free practice session. There's only one free practice session, of course, because it's a sprint weekend. So in Miami, the FIA have said they're going to increase it to 90 minutes.
That's a good idea. I think that's a fair balance.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it'll be a long weekend, a lot of time in the garage for the engineers and stuff. But I think that probably is the best balance.
Yes. And I'm sure the drivers want to be on track.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
There's been rumours that Ferrari might bring their Macarena wing.
Ooh.
And also other teams might be copying said design. So look at the rear wings, I guess.
That's exciting. I think the other thing about having a 90-minute practice session is you're going to be able to do a full race distance, more or less, in that time. So for a team like Aston that's been struggling with that specifically, it's a really good opportunity to do a test of longer length.
Yes. And of course, for drivers like Colapinto and Lindblad, who haven't driven there, they will really appreciate it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we did see last year that a lot of the newer drivers who hadn't driven certain tracks, and it was a sprint weekend, it was a bit of chaos and there was a bit of concern. So it's just good all around to have a bit more practice. 90 minutes is long, again, so I think we won't see the teams out for those 90 minutes. They will pick and choose.
Mm.
And the practice with the sprint weekends is always really iffy anyway, because the conditions aren't the same and things.
Yeah, that's true, because it's different times of day. Okay, well, let's go on to... Should we move on to favourites for the race?
Yes, let's do that.
So, obviously, Antonelli comes off the back of his first two wins in a row. He's leading the championship by how many points? Put you on the spot.
10? Oh dear, I need to... That's the one thing I didn't have in the notes. I was like, surely I don't need to know this, but I do not know this. Normally I'm quite good, let's see. Oh dear, I'm in a Wikipedia rabbit hole. Get me out! Ah! I genuinely am. Where? What the fuck? Oh. Apologies. This is terrible. I'm terrible. Right, let's just use the BBC like a good person, like a normal person.
Oh, I've got it. He's 9 points ahead.
Okay.
Okay, you say it.
He's 9 points ahead of his teammate George Russell.
Yes. Which is not insubstantial, I'd say. Like, that's a, you know... Like, I feel like if you were going into Abu Dhabi with 9 points... I mean, granted, we're going to Miami, but if you were going into Abu Dhabi with 9 points, I'd be like, yeah, it's freaking comfortable.
I mean, it's... You know, if Russell wins the race and the sprint, he would still be behind Antonelli.
Yeah. Providing Antonelli was second, of course.
Providing Antonelli was second. And Antonelli does go well here. Like I said, he got sprint pole last year. Then was a bit shocking in the sprint race itself.
But yes,
I think this is a track that does suit him. Although he did say last year that the tracks he hadn't raced on before, he felt less pressure, and that's why he might have done so, you know, a bit better.
Mm.
But Russell also did well last year. He got third in the race, fourth in the sprint. And Mercedes is pretty all right. Like, they haven't had absolute shockers here in the past, unlike other teams.
Unlike a certain McLaren. Although, I want to come on to that, because McLaren were looking sharper in Japan. I still am an Oscar Piastri truther. I think he could have had the win in Japan. So, he won here last year. Granted, yes, McLaren has got a very patchy history here. But in the last 2 years, obviously, they have won. So, I think it is possible that McLaren move up to this top group.
Yes. Interesting on Oscar Piastri being second last race is he was recently interviewed on a podcast, and he said that for him, his second place last race meant a lot more to him than his win in Miami last year, because he felt like he didn't do particularly well in Miami. He won the race, but he had a quick car, whereas that second really was, you know, all his effort and an incredible result, more than he thought he could achieve. So I think that does put into context how F1 drivers view their seasons.
Yeah.
So I think this will be for Antonelli and Russell. If they are not winning, and even if they are winning, a win doesn't necessarily mean a good race for a driver. So, you know, it's all in context and what happened during the race, which is actually really hard to do when you're just looking at plain stats and numbers.
Yeah. And I think, I guess also Lando could be there, but I haven't seen anything particularly exciting from Lando yet this year.
Yes. I mean, he's had issues in practice. To be fair to Lando, he's had some technical issues, but he also hasn't shown too much pace. Maybe he'll sort of warm up in the middle of the season like he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
We will see. Maybe he needs some upgrades from McLaren like last year. We will see. I think Red Bull have done very well here, but that might be because it's towards the beginning of the season and they've either been dominating or just coming off their dominance in the past 4 years while Miami has been on the calendar.
Yeah.
But maybe Red Bull will not be so horrendous.
Maybe. I want to come back to the Ferrari flippy wing.
Okay.
How consequential do you think some Ferrari upgrades could be here? Because we have seen Ferrari is the Mercedes' closest competitor. And if, you know, we have this ladder effect of upgrades potentially, because I think they're close enough to do that. Are Mercedes upgrading this weekend? Maybe.
Well, I think, you know, teams would be stupid not to bring an upgrade. They'd have a month. They've had a month off, over a month off for R&D.
Yeah.
If you're not bringing an upgrade, what are you doing?
Okay.
Mercedes might not, or maybe teams don't want to spend their money. Like, that is a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we will see different cars. I mean, the Ferrari was out for a test run on a circuit in Italy. Probably. I can't even remember which one.
Maranello.
The Ferrari was seen, you know, going for a little test run. And the car is quite a bit different.
Okay.
So I think we can assume a lot of teams will bring upgrades. I mean, some might not. But
I mean, it is Ferrari, so can we even assume it will be faster?
Oh, it will probably be slower. Like, you know, Ferrari and upgrades is not necessarily a good thing. But I think they have sort of insinuated that it's their engine letting them down.
Okay.
So by race 6, when they get the engine upgrade, it hasn't been confirmed who's getting the engine upgrade yet, we will sort of know what's going on there. And I think that's what makes this season so complicated. It's not just about the chassis and the aero. You know, the engine's such a huge component, and that will make a difference between cars. And also understanding the engine, which Williams and McLaren don't seem to be able to do. Maybe McLaren are warming up a bit.
Yeah, that's true. Because to be fair, like, if it was a spec engine series, I think the order could be quite different, you know. Because, yeah, like we said a few weeks ago, the return to, because we almost were a spec engine series by the end of the last regulations. And so the return to kind of the dominance of the factory teams is pretty apparent, apart from Red Bull, I guess.
Yeah. The only prediction I'm going to put in stone from looking at previous year's results is Hamilton is not going to do anything special.
Okay.
Last year he was
Hamilton 8th. Track.
The 3 previous years he was 6th, which is just really mid results. They weren't bad, they just weren't good.
But I guess, I mean, yeah, the evidence is there that this isn't particularly a track that suits him. But also, Hamilton does generally go well somewhere random. You know?
Yes, but who knows?
Who knows?
We genuinely, sometimes he's doing great, sometimes he isn't. I think this season is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, I think Hungary will be exciting, maybe Silverstone. But he's never been particularly happy around Miami. So we will have to see. I think the characteristics are a bit modern for him.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah, true. That's maybe why he likes a bit of a hokey-cokey circuit, because it's a bit more classical.
Yes.
I'm just looking at... Megan has made a wonderful table of all the teams and their results sorted into meh, shocking, mid, good, and there is. I've seen some greats. I've seen one great from Williams in 2025.
And apparently. Red Bull in 23.
Oh, yes.
I think the shocking from Williams is very funny. I think they were like DNF'd and 20th with Sargeant and Albon that one year, which is shocking.
I'm surprised you haven't given McLaren... Oh, we've got a shocking and a dreadful. What's the difference?
The vibes.
Okay.
Shocking okay. is like, okay. I think dreadful and shocking are pretty similar, but it's just, you know, based on the year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all synonyms. I love a synonym. yeah, the table did start off as just good, meh, and bad. But then I was like, we need to introduce some more words, because McLaren in 2023, where they were like both, I think one of them DNF'd, one of them was 17th or something. It was like absolutely horrific. I was like, that cannot just be bad. And then last year, you know, McLaren did very well. Probably because their car was amazing.
Yeah.
And in Red Bull, they got a 1-2 in 2023. I mean, Perez, weirdly enough, has always gone pretty well around here. So, Cadillac points.
Yeah, I guess what's been Perez's results over the years? Fourth, second, wow, yeah, okay. It could be as America's human rights record slips, you know? He's one of those.
Well, Piastri likes to go well around those sorts of places.
Yeah,
as
that's
well.
True. So we're looking for a Piastri, Perez, and then who else doesn't like human rights?
I think it's just those two.
Okay. I feel like we could throw Ocon in there just for his general acts of terror.
I was about to say he's been very good this season, but he hasn't at all. I would like to say, do you remember last year when Leclerc crashed into a wall because he aquaplaned off? He DNS'd the sprint.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Gosh, that was fun.
Yeah.
Man.
I remember looking at the thing and going, oh, Leclerc's not... What's happened to Leclerc?
and he's gone
in the
ice
wall.
Skating.
Yeah. So it can be a bit rainy there. Also, we haven't had a wet race with these regs.
That's true. And there's a lot of, like, the wet regs are very different to the dry regs.
Yes. I hope that there is a wet race before Silverstone, because Silverstone being the first wet race.
It doesn't need it. It's already
No,
great
I just want them to be able to race. Because knowing the FIA, they won't let them race if it's the first wet
true.
Race at Silverstone.
Yeah.
But Silverstone in the wet is, like, incredible, as we saw last year.
Okay, before we get on to our runoff predictions, shall we go through some other bits?
Yes, let's do that.
So, GP's leaving. Did we cover this?
I don't think we did. I think that was in Easter, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Were you shocked?
No. I think I've heard rumours of GP looking for other opportunities. I think it's also kind of... I mean, there is, like, that photo of Bono with Christian Horner from, like... I think it was when Lewis signed to Ferrari. So, clearly, these people do go shopping around a lot. And the amount of media attention that GP gets, like, it's not a surprise that he's been tapped up for a team principal role. And also, I mean, it's pretty clear he can deal publicly with difficult situations, because he has to speak to Max Verstappen while he's racing. So, honestly, PR is like half of the job and a little bit of technical expertise being a team principal. And clearly, GP's already showcased those. So I'm not surprised that he's been poached.
But he's not going to be a team principal.
Well, he is eventually, though. I mean, that is the plan.
He's going to be racing director?
Oh, same thing. Same thing. And also, nobody does more than a year at McLaren and then they go to Aston Martin or Audi or something.
Will Courtney's been there a while.
Okay.
I think. Enough. And the aero. Rob Marshall.
Yeah. Lando.
I was surprised it was McLaren.
I feel like a lot of defectors from Red Bull have maybe gone to McLaren over the years.
Well, this does happen. All the defectors from Mercedes went to Red Bull.
Mm.
All the defectors from Red Bull have gone to McLaren, and then McLaren had a period of success. That is no coincidence.
Yeah, and I think so. The culture there, and the obviously there is going to be personnel that he knows, but the culture is also going to be similar to that he's worked with at Red Bull. There's a lot of comments about Red Bull's culture, but I think it's a natural fit. I think, you know, you don't want to be going into the Aston Martin headless house. You don't want to be going into the Audi, whatever's going on there. Like, Williams hasn't really got a space for GP. And then that doesn't leave you, like, you're not going to work with Flavio, are you? Like, yeah. Nobody who has self-respecting goes there.
And McLaren are willing to spend the money.
Absolutely.
It sounds like it was essentially a life-changing amount of money. I think it's very odd that it's been announced, what, 2 years in advance?
Yes, but I think that's probably because McLaren are conscious that if they don't do it, somebody will.
Yes. I do think there's a bit of elite culture, rumour culture in F1. You know, in the era of everything's online.
Yeah.
We find out about everything. Very few things are truly shocking.
Yeah.
I did say something else. Talking of Audi, they obviously lost Wheatley.
Jonathan Wheatley, yes.
They appointed a trackside racing director, Alan McNish.
Alan McNish, what a name.
Used to be an F1 driver.
Okay.
And then was very, very successful in Le Mans for many, many years.
Okay.
With Audi. And he's running the Audi development team.
Oh, that's a good plan.
And he's Freddie Slater's manager, I think.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see Slater in Audi in, what, 28, 29? But yeah, so Audi have filled that hole, which is good. Where is Jonathan Wheatley going? Aston Martin.
Yeah, he's going into the...
Weird they haven't announced it, though.
The Bears' Den. Well, it probably because somebody is getting the boot.
Yeah.
I think that'd be why.
Or maybe it was not a done deal. And he's been stood up.
True,
and Audi just got rid of him. They're like, you're not committed.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay, Turkey's back.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I'm excited for it. Turkey's a great track. I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yes. It's going to fill some gaps, either be a rotational track or... No one's quite sure yet, but it's going to be back from 2027 till 2031.
I think the race I think it was probably the last time we were there... was when it was kind of raining, but not really, and various people did the whole race on Inters.
Yeah, and Lance Stroll got a pole.
Yes, was that that time?
2019?
No, that wasn't the last one. I think it was 2021. Must have been 20...
It was, they didn't go in 2021. The last one was 2020, because that's where Hamilton won his seventh, surely.
No, I think there was they were more recent than that.
Are you confusing it with Bahrain 21?
No, definitely Turkey. 2021 Turkish Grand Prix.
Oh, there was a 2021 Turkish Grand Prix. Bottas won. Oh! Is that one of the races that no one wanted to win in 2021?
Why would you not want to win?
I don't know. There was quite a few races that was just utter chaos.
Yeah. Yes. And it had the white Red Bull. It was to replace Japan.
Oh, yes. Of course.
And there was that fantastic battle between, was it Perez and Bottas? And that was when we weren't used to getting... race, like wheel-to-wheel racing. Oh, it was a beautiful race. I loved it.
Well, is it good racing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good racing.
It's good racing.
I like Turkey.
I think that's everything.
And the Norris Guardian interview.
I just put that in there because the way... The Guardian are not being very careful. I think it's just interesting to see a journalist so clearly talk about, you know, PR getting in the way.
Yes.
Of a true and proper interview. I think that happens most interviews. There's nothing really to make of it. It's just most journalists are polite enough not to include that and not to include members of staff who are not being interviewed.
Yes.
But I also think it's funny. So,
big up the Guardian. I love a bit of Guardian journalism.
Yeah.
Although they did snipe us at the Zach Polanski thing, so not too happy about that.
Yeah.
So
F2 news.
Oh, go on.
They're racing in Miami and Montreal to make up the two rounds they've lost.
Oh, I think I saw that. And isn't F1 Academy doing like three races in a weekend or something? Yes, that would be good fun.
Yeah.
So bonus racing this weekend.
Yes.
Does that mean something's got shunted from the calendar?
Nope.
No, they've just found more time.
Yep.
Do you know what that sounds like? A delayed race start because somebody's got in a barrier.
It's going to be Alex Dunn. Well, I think usually the American series don't have many
support
races because it's so expensive. The reason then, you know, if F2 are not in America and the reason they're not in Canada is because it's ridiculously expensive. They shouldn't be in Australia. That drives the price up and makes it harder for young drivers to get into F2.
Right, yeah.
In my opinion. But, you know, they want to be there at the first race of the season. I'm sure that's good publicity. But I'm glad they've replaced the missing rounds. I don't think F3 have, but, you know, it's I don't think... I think F2 does need a proper full
season. Yeah, absolutely.
And it will probably be great for these drivers to get an experience of a track they don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Not that they would have raced in the Middle East. Well, some of them might have raced in, you know, the Middle East, do some Formula Regional.
Middle Eastern stuff is quite popular.
UAE F4.
Yeah.
So, actually... they will have some racing experience there. And
although if you've done something like UAE F4, you're actually not doing... you're not doing, like, Jeddah. You're doing, like, Dubai Autodrome and Yas Marina.
Yeah, but there's a UAE F4 and Middle East F4. There's two different... and Saudi Arabian F4.
Okay.
These are all different competitions.
Okay. Where do they go in Saudi Arabian F4? Do they do Jeddah? Is it open that much? It's a street circuit. Guys, come on.
It's not really.
No, I know it's not really.
I'm sure they were in... I've seen them in Bahrain and in Jeddah.
Yeah, definitely Bahrain, yeah.
Yeah, they're in Jeddah as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've watched it. I watched a bit too much racing over the winter.
I think they should just do it, like, no crash barriers, just, like, send them drag racing down desert roads.
Really?
Yeah,
that's what
sick.
Rally's for. Have you seen the average F2 race?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if it's just miles and miles of desert at the side of the road, like, you're not going to do any damage.
True.
Okay, shall we do some runoff predictions?
Yes.
So.
We should... we're currently, I am leading the runoff championship with 4 points.
You are.
And Ned has 2.
And I have 2. So the way this works is you get... There is a category who, a what, a where, and a when. And if you get the who, you get 4 points. If you get what, you get 3 points. If you got where, you get 2 points. And if you get when, you get 1 point. All of them are independent. And if they get grounded, you get double points. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you want to start or shall I?
You can start.
Okay, I am going to say... let me look at the list of drivers. I am... I don't want it to be, but I'm sorry, Isaac Hadjar. You are going into the runoff. Because obviously we've got the sprint this weekend. So I could say sprint. Because... but then there is, like, statistically less time to go off in the sprint. But it's more likely maybe because they're not so used to the track. So I'm going to go Hadjar in the sprint. I am going to say turn... I'm going to say turn one... is that a cop-out?
No, that's fine.
I guess it's only 1 point. Oh, no, that's 2 points. And then when I'm... oh, I've said the sprint. What? That's the one I'm missing.
What causes...
he's going to lose it on his own. I'm sorry, Isaac. I love you to pieces, but the pressure's got to you this weekend. In the sprint, turn one loses it on his own. Not really sure. Nobody's really sure what happened.
Okay. Turn one's a really good one, actually. I was going to go for turn one.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm trying to visualise the circuit. I feel like turn 11.
Turn 11. That is the end of the back straight.
Yeah, actually, okay. I'm gonna do turn 12 then.
Turn 12. Okay.
There is
runoff around there. Yeah.
And we love a bit of runoff. Oh no, there is only
a little bit. It's on like the exit of that.
Quite a few people binned it into turn 12 last time. Will someone forget to turn on their brakes is the question going down the back straight. Or maybe, what's that turn? 17. Okay. I think turn 1 is genuinely the best one.
Yeah, I think so. You can go turn 1 if you want.
I'm not going turn 1.
Okay.
I'm going to be different.
Okay.
We don't see much around turn 7. Have I put it in the... yeah.
Yeah, that was like a big Charles Leclerc. That was where Charles Leclerc had a bit spinning quali, was
yes.
it?
Yes. All before the race.
Do you know if I did that? Like, in one of those big crashes where you know you're going to crash, but you've got like a good 5 seconds to think about it, I would try and turn the radio on and scream.
Okay.
Like that clip. Do you know when Lewis, is it in China? You go, oh!
Fair enough. I'm going to go for... Can I go for the 14-15 chicane, or do I need to pick one of them?
No, I'll let you have the 14-15 chicane.
I'm going to go for the 14-15 chicane.
Okay.
I need to pick a driver.
You do.
Ooh.
I think this is the thing. Like, the bigger the runoff, the more chance you're going to get someone in it, but less chance they'll get stuck.
To be fair, not many people... Yeah.
Get beached.
Or bring out yellow flag.
Like, turn 1, I don't think I'm getting Hajar stuck there.
No.
Like, something
they have
big
to,
is going to happen.
We did say they
there.
Have to go into the runoff. It's not just cutting the corner.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It has to be, like, the commentators note it as a thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 14-15 and free practice. And I'm going to say Lindblad, because he hasn't been here before.
Okay. And why?
Goes off on his own.
Goes off on his own. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's everything.
Yes. Should I do a different reason to you?
You don't have to.
I'm going to do
okay.
Car failure.
Car failure. Ooh, yeah, good one.
Mechanical issue, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If there's a lot of teams introducing upgrades, I think there's a good shot we see a few engines go kaput.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different thing, though. I'm just going to go mechanical issue rather than engine failure. I think those are two different reasons. I'm going to go mechanical issue.
Okay, so if there's an engine failure...
We'll bring it to court.
Okay.
We'll have a discussion.
Okay. All right. That has been Into the Runoff. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you for the roundup after Miami.
Yeah.
Woo.
Bye.